And it's time to visit with our early bird fishing guide, Jeff Sundin. Morning, Jeff. How are you today?
Good morning, gents. Not too bad.
You've been doing a lot of fishing, haven't you?
Yeah.
Great.
Yep. I had. That's the nice thing about going back to the Stone Age is when my computer crashed and burned, I had to wait for a new one for a while. So, with no excuse to stay inside the house. We got the firewood cut, got some fish caught. I discovered, have you ever had a discovery after you've been doing something for a long time and you thought you were getting it kind of figured out, but you never totally dialed into it, and then you discovered a new way of doing something and it just worked out so good that you can hardly wait to do it again?
What would that be?
Smoking tulipies.
Ooh.
I had always struggled. You know, I've smoked a lot of fish. I've been pretty good at smoking northern pike and crappies and some of the other ones over the years, but I always sort of scratched my head. I never got those tulipies to come out exactly how I wanted them to. And I used to do all the wet brine where you'd mix the salt and the sugar and everything together and try to come up with just that perfect recipe, you know, where they'd come out the same every time. Mm-hmm. And I let somebody convince me to try just using the dry mixed brine instead. Mix up your recipe and then just put the coating on those tulipie fillets dry instead of soaking them in the wet brine.
Right.
And man, they came out good.
Oh.
So now I can hardly wait to get back out there. And I think tomorrow is my target date. We're going to see if we can go get some more. Those tulipies are starting to move. You know, this time of year, they start to come from those deep holes towards the edges a little bit. They're chasing minnows around, and you can start to get into some bigger schools of them. So we've picked up a couple, two or three every time we go out, a couple of walleyes, some perch, you know, kind of a mixed bag, little bit of everything. And but I think now that I've done that once, I got that batch under my belt, I need to go back out, and we need to make a targeted tulipie trip here. We fished with one of the folks from the DNR last week. He gave me some interesting news. You know, we've heard over the last few years the tulipies were supposedly declining. Well, he says in our area here, they seem to be making a little comeback. So that's good news, not just for if you like tulipie fishing, but that's good news if you like to fish for big pike and muskies, because that's their food. And so if you have good tulipie population in the lake, you're going to get a larger, northern, better muskie down the road. So
how big are these tulipies, Jeff?
Well, I would say this batch that we've been picking on, I suppose they're running about a pound and a half or so. Okay. You know, we don't actually weigh them. They look pretty nice when you bring them in, but they're long and skinny, so they probably don't weigh as much as we think they do. But let's say the size of probably an overgrown crappie, bigger than a crappie, but, you know, smaller than a pike or something like that. It would remind you of a giant China minnow. Most people that really haven't seen one. By now, I think most folks have seen them. But if you haven't, just imagine a shiner minnow that had grown, you know, out of control for a couple of years, and get that pound and a half, maybe up to 2 pounds. Not to be confused with a whitefish. There's a few lakes around here where we'll catch a whitefish occasionally, and they'll get quite larger. I've gotten up, you know, in the 5-6 pound neighborhood, and maybe you'll hear some even bigger than that from time to time. But those are a little trickier. They're not in as many lakes, and when you do find them, you don't find big numbers of them. It's not unusual when you find a really good school of the tulipies to be able to go out and fish those and have an experience like you would fishing for crappies or bluegills, you know, where you may catch 25 or 30 of them in the same spot. It's just it's a question of figuring out where the main school is. And we've been fishing the shallow water, so we're kind of off the edge of that deep hole, and we know the tulipies are probably primarily out in that deep water, but as they chase a school of bait fish around, you know, they'll force it into the drop-off and come up on that shallow edge from time to time. So as part of their feeding, they just kind of stumble into you. We're not really actively pursuing them, but we have in the past, and and get in on some action.
Hey,
so
Jeff, I'm gonna try that again. Jeff, I've heard over the years that the health of a tulibee population in a lake is a good sign that the lake's pretty healthy. And they're also a fish that is preyed upon by other fish, aren't they?
Yeah, that is the, like I said, for particularly for your larger fish, large pike, muskies, large size walleyes, the tulibees are really important to that. And they need that deep water, cool water with lots of oxygen in it. So typically I would say yes, if you've got a lake and the tulibee population is healthy, probably your water quality is pretty good in that
lake.
At the moment. When you start to see the tulibees disappear, that's one of the warning signs, you know. But you don't know for sure that it's not oversupply of predators either. You could have perfectly good water, but have overpopulation of stunted northerns or something like that could affect population. But generally speaking, if you've got them, you're probably in better shape than, certainly better shape than to be on like one of the farm prairie type of lakes where the water has just become it's got too many nutrients in it and it's too green, too lacking in oxygen in the deep water where it's cold. So,
hey,
yeah,
somebody,
we're lucky to still have them up here.
Somebody kind of had just a knockoff question. Oh, I don't know, we were having lunch or something the other day. Mm-hmm. How come you never hear people talking about catching bass in the winter through the ice?
Wait a minute. You better go check my website. If it's not on there now, I'll make sure it's on there. I've been averaging one nice bass every time we go out.
Have you really?
Yep. Hmm. And this last time, I really got a nice one.
Ooh.
I'll make sure that it's on someplace where people can find it. I just got the computer sort of where everything's back on it again.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sort of back in business, so I'll catch up. Ironically, the time that I have the most information to put on the website, I don't have a computer, so it's not going on there.
Yeah. Okay.
But I got a lot of new material. So, yeah, I'll catch up with that. This is going to get too late here now, so I'm scratching my head trying to figure out how I can help you. There's got to be three people out there that listen to this program, wouldn't you think?
Oh, at least, yes.
I think so.
Yeah.
You'd multiply that by quite a nice number, too.
Last year, I did some interesting things. You know, every once in a while, I would have one person that wanted to go fishing, and so we'd put out the word that I would split that trip or share it with somebody else. And we had some really good experiences doing that. You know, people would get together that didn't know each other.
Sure.
And go on some of these fishing trips. And I had a lot of fun with that. I'm thinking that maybe we could put together 3 KAXE listeners that would call in and pledge. As long as each one of them is an individual, I don't want a group of three people.
Okay.
I want three people who don't know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if we can't start up some sort of a tradition here. We'll get three pledges in, and then we'll take all three of those folks and make a KAXE annual fishing trip out of it.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Can you work the details out?
We will work the details out.
So are they going to be in the boat together at one time?
Yep.
Okay.
That's the deal. Three people get to know each other a little bit, some sort of a way to bring some folks together and talk about things that we hear on the radio or see out the back door. But
well, that's a heck of a nice offer, Jeff.
Yeah. Well, you see what I'm driving at.
I do, yes.
It's kind of fun. And like I say, we did this a few times last year, and it's really interesting to get people from different backgrounds together. Your conversation goes in 20 different directions, and everybody is an expert on something.
And all of them are going to have an excellent and a super fun time fishing,
ooh,
too.
Ooh, no kidding.
It could happen.
Yes, it will happen.
Yep. I'll give you a little advance warning. It's probably going to wind up being middle of the summer. It's going to be a warm, you know, mm-hmm. July, August kind of thing.
Oh, it really sounds difficult. That just sounds terrible, Jeff.
Well, all right. Okay.
No, it sounds great. Thanks.
You work the details out, and then we'll take it from there.
All right. And folks can call and make a pledge this morning. Thanks, Jeff, for being there on Thursday mornings and keeping us informed on what's happening out in the open water and on the hard ice.
No problem.
Year-round. You take care.
Thanks, good. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Have a big day.
Our early bird fishing guy, Jeff Sundin, throwing out a challenge there to three people who want to go fishing. And they can call in and make a pledge this morning. Sue and Joe Ganoz are here ready to take your pledge. We'll say that's a perfect 10 pledge, three people with a perfect 10.